I'd like to share a message this morning that I actually preached about 8 years ago. I went back and found this message, tweaked it a little bit, but I want us to think this morning about the responsibility and the opportunity that God has given for fathers to care for hearts. I realize this morning that for some of us, the idea of father is a very painful idea. And I want to be sensitive to that. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I need this message as much as anybody does. And so I want you to understand that I am thinking of that. I understand also that there are those here that are not fathers. But I want you to take what I share this morning and see it as potential for ministry. Because there are so many in our world who do not have a father figure. And for someone to speak into their life, to care for their heart, can be very life-changing. It can be huge. And so maybe the Lord will speak to you this morning of someone that you can find to minister to, someone that you can help care for along life's way. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm not going to have a series of questions. I'm going to share some wisdom with you that I've picked up, some of its scripture, some of its sayings. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. One of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12. Ruth Renkel said, sometimes the poorest man leaves his children the richest inheritance. I think that's a true word of wisdom. An unknown person said, a man's children and his garden both reflect the amount of care given during the growing season. Someone else said, a truly rich man is one whose children run into his arms when his hands are empty. Someone else gave us this bit, the most important is to love their mother. Someone else told us, small boys become big men through the influence of big men who care about small boys. Jim Valvano said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. What's a dad? A dad is someone who wants to catch you before you fall, but instead picks you up, brushes you off, and lets you try again. A dad is someone who wants to keep you from making mistakes, but instead lets you find your own way, even though his heart breaks in silence when you get hurt. A dad is someone who holds you when you cry, scolds you when you break the rules, shines with pride when you succeed, and has faith in you even when you fail. It's an unknown writer from Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. A very good book that you might read. Over in Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, Malachi, chapter 4, verse 6, Malachi says that one of the things that's going to happen when Jesus comes is he's going to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers unless I come and smite the earth with a curse. Why do you think that needed to be done? Just a question that came to my mind as I looked at that verse. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, talking about Jesus, he shall go before, talking about John the Baptist, for Jesus, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I'd like to turn to the book of 2 Samuel, and I'd like to just read a little portion here that I want to base this message from. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Absalom had been estranged from his father David. For some time, David, through some circumstances, finally brought him back to the royal city. And in the last of chapter 14, you read these words, the king kissed Absalom. But you also find out that David had very little to do with Absalom. And here's how chapter 15 starts. Came to pass after this, Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou? He said, "Thy servant is of the tribes of Israel." Absalom said unto him, "See, your matters are good and right, but there is nobody deputed of the king to hear you." And he said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, remember he's a prince, king's son, any man came near to do obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. On this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment, and so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. I want us to think about this morning in the context of fathers. Here's David, he's the king. He's a king loved of his people. David did a lot for his people. He got them freedom. He got them protection. He overcame so many of their enemies that kept bothering them. And he went beyond that. He did a number of things. If you read back, he did a number of things for his people, and the people loved him. So how could Absalom steal the hearts of the people? Now, I want us to think about this morning because it relates to us as fathers. Every one of us longs for someone to care for our heart. Everyone. There is no one. You know, some people get hard and they try to act like they don't care, and they don't want anybody to care. Down in, they care. And they want to be cared for. So what happens in all of this? I want us to think about our hearts. And I want us to think about three things that are of utmost importance. And by the way, fathers, the sermon notes this morning are a good opportunity for you to talk with your children. And I want you to, if you talk with them about what they've written down, there's some questions that ask them. How could your dad, or how does your dad show his love for you? And if you find their answers are condemning to you, don't get on their case. Listen to what they're saying and hear their heart. And I guarantee you, if you ask them for forgiveness,
and say you want to do better, they'll be more than ready. Time is very important. Time is an investment. It's not something that we, when it comes to a child's heart, it's not something that we can play with. One of the ways that our children understand our care for their hearts is what we do with our time. Is our time important? Is their time important in our time? Do they matter to us? It's interesting, over in John chapter 4, verses 46 to 53, there was a nobleman who came to Jesus. His son was dying. And if you do a little looking here, you realize this man walked almost a day's journey to come to Jesus because his child was dying. Now you say, well, I'd do that too. And I don't question that, but he walked a day there and a day back. He was a nobleman. A nobleman had plenty of important things to do. Plenty. But there was something that time, those several days, that was the most important. That was his child. And I suppose that later on, that child remembered, my dad walked, traveled that day there and that day back, and Jesus touched my life because of that. First Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Have any of you ever come to God and he didn't have time for you? He always has time. It doesn't matter how big or how small. It doesn't matter what it looks like to us. God has time for us. And I think there's a lesson there for us. Because that's how we understand his love. His care for us. His time that he's willing to give to us. Most of us get that to a degree. But I know it's so easy in life, as a father, it's so easy to say, I don't have time for that just now. I read a story, I think it was in the Daily Bread this morning, about the child who, at school, all the moms showed up for their program, but this child's dad showed up, the only dad. And how much that meant, how important that was. Time is an investment. We wound a child's heart when they feel like, catch this, they feel like we don't have time for what matters to them. We're all given the same amount of time in a day. And how we use that time in relation to our children, and in relation to others, this doesn't just apply to our children, but that's how I'm applying it this morning. But I want us to understand how important time is to our children. I'll just say this. My dad was a man that wanted with all his heart to please God. And he didn't waste his time. He spent hours
when he came home from work in his study praying and reading. But you know what that felt like to me? It felt like he didn't have time for me. So it doesn't have to be bad things that take our time away from our children. It can be important things. It can be things that we feel need to be done. But just remember this. We wound a child's heart when they feel we don't have time for their things. Secondly, our interest. I call this our passion. What are we interested in? What are our children interested in? You notice that Absalom had time for everybody that came into the town. Well, you say, sure. He didn't have the job of being king. Well, that's okay. You know what? There's going to be plenty of people in your child's life that don't have the job of being dad that are going to have time for your children and take them in a wrong way if you're not there for them. The same thing with their interest. Absalom was there. He said, oh, I hear what you're interested in. And if I was the guy in charge here, I'd be making sure that all those things were being taken care of. If it matters to you, it matters to me. Isaiah 63, verse 16. Doubtless, you're our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, O Lord, thou art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Talking about God and His interest in us. Even if Abraham and Isaac and Jacob did not know these people, God was their Father and He was interested in them. And I want you to know today that God is a good, good Father. And what you care about, He cares about. You matter to Him. Your life matters to Him. Your purposes, your desires matter to God. And as fathers, we need to let our children know that their interests matter to us. I remember, on a positive note, I remember my dad. He saw that I had interest in mechanics as a boy. And he had wanted to, it didn't happen then, but he had wanted to go buy me an old car so that I could just take it all apart and work on it and do whatever. So he was interested, so I don't want you to get the feeling that my dad was not a good father, even though he had his failures. Matthew 7, verse 11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? We wound our child's heart, or a child's, doesn't even have to be our own. We wound a child's heart when they feel we're not interested in them and their world. Now, I want to say this. Every one of us here has a father. And every one of us here have father wounds. Our dads, it doesn't matter how good they were, are not perfect. And we all have father wounds. But let those father wounds, rather than making you bitter or angry or lashing out, let those father wounds drive you to the perfect Father so that you can hang on to Him and feel the care that He has for you. The third one that I want us to think about today is worth or value. Now, we'd say that nobleman showed how valuable his child was to him by making that trip to Jesus to have him touch and heal, or speak the word and heal his son. Absalom made
the people that showed up there in Jerusalem feel valuable, because as a prince, he would take their hand and kiss it. Now you might say, oh, that's silly. But in those days, that represented favor. It represented value. The prince kissed my hand. There's things that make or represent value in your child's life, in our lives. Here's our Heavenly Father, Luke 12:7. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not ye, are of more value than many sparrows. What's he telling us? He's telling us we are valuable to our Father. We're valuable to him. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's telling our value. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then many of the letters of the New Testament start with this, or include this somewhere in the letter: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father. We are valuable. We wound a child's heart when we criticize them and make them feel small or worthless. So much better to come alongside them and lead them to a better place. We grew up, most of us, in a culture of shame and blame. That was already mentioned this morning. Shame and blame. Let's change that. Let's make our culture a culture of encouragement, of blessing. I'd just like to look at a number of scriptures. And by the way, if you go on there in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, in verse 13, it says, there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Oh, wow. And you don't read too much longer after this where David had to flee the city because the people were for Absalom. They weren't for him anymore. And Absalom became king for a short time. There are going to be those who will be there to take interest in your child's time, in your child's passions, in your child's value. It may be selfish, it may be sinful, but don't wait for the day to come when all of a sudden it's too late and they're gone. If you need to make a change now. Don't say I failed and give up. We'll talk about that just a little bit more in the end. I want us to think about the perfect example of our Father. John, the one whom Jesus loved, the one who talks so much about love, 87 times in his writings, St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, talks about the love of the Father for his Son and his children, the relationship of Father and children. I just want to look quickly at several scriptures. Genesis 37:4, we find out that God loves. In Genesis 50:16, God commands. In Proverbs 1:8, he instructs. In Jeremiah 3:4 and 1 Thessalonians 2:11, he guides, encourages, he warns. In Hosea 11:3, he trains. In Genesis 34:30, he rebukes. In 1 Samuel 3:13, we read that Samuel
did not restrain his sons. God does restrain us at times because he loves us. He punishes us. Deuteronomy 21:18. He chastens us. Hebrews 11:12 chapter 12 talk about that, but Proverbs chapter 3 verse 12 talks about how a father chastens his son because he loves him. So we're not talking about writing all of those things off, but we're putting them in the context. A child who feels their father spends his time for them, a child who feels their father is interested in their interests, a child who feels valuable to his father will respond to discipline. The child who does not have those feelings will rebel. They'll rise up because discipline to them only feels destructive. He nourishes, Isaiah 1, 2. He delights in his son, Proverbs 3, 12. He delights in his son's wisdom, Proverbs 10, verse 1. He's deeply pained by his son's folly, Proverbs 17, 25. We already read Matthew 7, 10. He's considerate of his child's needs and requests. He's considerate of their burdens or their sins, Malachi 3:17, even as a man spareth his own son. He's tenderly familiar with us. Over in the story Jesus told in Luke 11, verse 7, where the neighbor wanted something desperately, wanted some bread, and he said, "My children are with me in the bed. I am not coming to the door. My children are with me." And that's a tenderness. That's a familiarity. He's also self-restrained. Ephesians 6:4, don't provoke your children to wrath. He has in view the highest ends. In other words, nurturing them in the chastening and the admonition of the Lord. He's pitiful. Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father pitieth his children, have mercy and compassion. He's the last human friend, other than Jesus, to desert the child. Psalm 27, verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then Yahweh will take me up. So if you are here this morning and you say, my dad didn't care about my time. My dad didn't care about my interests. My dad didn't value me. There's a good father that does care. And when there's nobody else there, he'll be there to pick you up. He'll be there to take interest in you. Maybe this morning you're saying, wow, I really, really blew it. I'd like to encourage you with a verse from Joel, chapter 2, verse 25. I found this verse to be of incredible value in my own life. Joel, chapter 2, verse 25. It's right in the context of the prophecy concerning the Holy Spirit coming, but this is what he says. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. And I can testify that that's true. If we go before the Lord and we say, Lord, I failed. Please restore the years the locust has eaten. He'll do it. Let's stand together for prayer. God, we thank you that you're a good Father. We thank you that our interests, our time, our value is of utmost importance to you. That when no one else cares about us, you care. If everyone forsakes us, you're there. You love us. And Lord, some of us have a hard time understanding that because we felt forsaken or distanced or maybe even abused by our Father. And Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit you come and minister to each heart. Lord, that each one might have something that they can gather and gain and take with them to use in life from this message, these words. We thank you and we praise you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.